Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
And you can call us at 1-866-823-1077 right here on Bulldog Live and ask your firearms-related questions with attorney Penny Dean here on Bulldog Live on The Pulse.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up, at least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
And this segment of Second Amendment Tuesdays is brought to you by Riley's Sports Shop in Hooksett. Visit them online at rileysguns.com as well as on the DW Highway in Hooksett. And what a great place to visit, I can tell you. Penny, welcome back. How are you today?
I am well. How are you?
Good. I'm having a great time.
Good deal. I'll tell you what. You know, today is National Watch What They Do, Don't Just Listen to What They Say Day.
Ah, I like that. That's keeping right in the theme of the show.
Well, good, because, you know, I read the most recent, when I say the most recent, a couple days ago, July 10th, Concord Monitor said at the State House, shoot out over self-defense bill. And okay. I'm reading the article, and I'm laughing, groaning, and wanting to cry for firearm owners in the state, and here's why. They talk about this great bill, expand the right to kill in self-defense, which is, to me,
expand
not
the right to kill. Oh, how yeah. Nice. That's very clever.
Yeah, that's very clever. And I look at it as the opportunity, not even the right, sadly. I wish it was the right. The opportunity to be able to defend yourself in self-defense and not having to pay someone like me your life savings and more to try and defend yourself in the courtroom when you shouldn't even be there.
Right.
And so I read the article, and this article I tell people, if you grew up with, like my father, who believed in critical thinking and reading between the lines, okay? Don't just listen to what they say, listen to what they don't say and how they say it. And if you read this article, it's very interesting, and unfortunately not enough of you attend hearings at the State House. And people say, well, I work during the day, and my answer is, you have sick days, take a day off for vacation. Because this is incredible education. If you take a half day off, let's say, to attend a hearing at the State House regarding self-defense or firearms, I guarantee it'll be an incredible education for you.
Oh, it is.
Isn't it wonderful? Mm-hmm. And people say, well, you don't have to take the day off. I said, yes, I do. I have to not work on my client work for that amount of hours, and I lose that amount of pay because there's no one pays me if I don't work.
Right.
You know, so I tell people, I actually have to take off more than you do. It costs me more than you do to be there. It really does, because no one's going to pay me then. I can't apply for sick time or comp time or any of that type of thing. And so you really have to sacrifice. You know, the saying, freedom isn't free. You have to pay a price and sacrifice for your liberty. And so the gist of it is, when you go to the State House, you want to listen to what these politicians and unelected bureaucrats from, let's say, the state police, New Hampshire Attorney General's office, listen to what they say from bill to bill. And, for example, I can tell you one thing that really irked me at the time, and it was a great marketing campaign. The guy who thought this up for Kelly Ayotte did a great job because he knew that she was weak on the gun owner support. So what they did, they had her take a picture in a shooting stance and sent it out to everyone and said, Kelly Ayotte believes gun control is two hands, right? And so all the sportsmen went, wait, that's great. She's on her side. Look at this ad. But what they didn't remember is in 2006, when the bill, there was a self-defense bill put through, and it was opposed by then-Attorney General Kelly Ayotte,
mm-hmm.
as well as the chiefs and the sheriffs. And so the bottom line is, how is it that you go from whatever to whatever? Leopards don't change their spots. It just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell people to watch what she's done in the past, and when she now says, oh, no, I'm pro this, I'm pro that, that did this. Well, why is it that good people, good educated firearm people thought it was a great bill and spent all their time and effort getting it passed if it was so bad?
Right.
Well, I mean, tell me how that happened.
By okay. veto-proof majorities, no less, in this
session. That's exactly right. And so the bottom line is I tell people to look at what Kelly Ayotte, for example, did. And her marketing's great, and unfortunately the marketing works, and that's why people do it. And so we go back to Governor Lynch right now. The current bill that's before the governor, in my opinion, doesn't go nearly far enough, but it's a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But yet the anti-gunners are talking like, oh my God, it's the right to kill bill. It's going to allow this. It's going to allow that. And I think...
Let me just take a bit of a letter that was written to Governor Lynch, as was reported in this Monitor story. The presidents of the state associations of sheriff and police chiefs asked for a veto, with Belknap County Sheriff Craig Wiggin and Pittsfield Police Chief Robert Wareham write that the bill, quote, would increase the potential for deadly encounters erupting in public places, and such as, they write, grocery stores, malls, schools, airports, and roadways.
But you want me to tell you what's really scary about this? Is if you listen to individuals from the Attorney General's office, okay, when these bills are being heard, they said, we don't need this bill. People have the right to self-defense now. There's no need for this bill. This is silly. Just ITL the bill. Okay, we don't need it. This is redundancy. You guys have busy, important work to do here in the State House. So when they talk about that, so you say to yourself, okay, if that's the case, then what's the problem? If we already have it, what's the problem of making it explicit? Now we see, presuming they're quoted correctly in this article, of individuals like Anne Rice, like you say, the current law balances public safety with the right to self-defense. We think that using deadly force should be a person's last resort. If you can get away safely, you should do that first. And so... that right there, I think, says it all about Anne Rice's attitude, is that good people should always have to retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Good people should always have to run away from criminals. And the question that...
this is what happens in third world countries.
That's exactly right. That is exactly what happens in third world countries. Might makes right, and you can't defend yourself anywhere, and the bad guys can come out with God knows what, be it larger firearms, be it disparity in force, gangs...
mm-hmm.
And you're expected to run away and just wait for your boss, which would be the government, to take care of you.
Yeah.
And the question we
ask the people in the inner cities how that's working for them.
Let's ask Washington, D.C. and Chicago. Don't they have such a safe rate there if we look at their crime statistics according to the FBI?
Oh, yes.
That's
sure.
What I'm thinking, like the highest, in, you know, one of the highest in the nation.
Uh-huh.
And so the bottom line is that I think you need to ask yourself, for example, when people are going up the ladder, because particularly in government offices, the Attorney General's office and stuff, they do what I call a stair step up the ladder. And you need to ask yourself, do you want people with that attitude making a determination about whether or not, and this is a big deal, as a practical matter, making a determination as to whether or not you really have a constitutional right?
Mm.
And I think that, you know, people need to step back and ask themselves that. And I know for me, the answer is heck no.
Right.
Heck no. You know, I think that's improper. We're talking about constitutional rights. And as a practical matter, if you don't, how many of you spend 24 hours a day in your house?
No.
Yeah. Okay. People work, which means at least 8 hours, right?
Uh-huh.
Commute time. You have to go groceries, you go to dinner occasionally, you might have children involved in sporting activities. Many
you go to
people,
church, yada, yada, yada.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Many people spend the vast majority of the time out of their house as opposed to in their house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So as a practical matter, if you're told you can't defend yourself the majority of your day, what does that do to your constitutional rights?
No, there you go. And who is the government to determine whose life is more important than yours or, you know, the like?
That's exactly right. So I guess here's my question for Governor Lynch when he's with his armed state police security guard that he has, okay, and he's out in public. You know, they're going to have to remember they can't defend themselves there if they feel threatened. They need to retreat. Because, you know, we have this balance of public safety versus rights of self-defense. Isn't that what Anne Rice said?
Yes, it's balanced, that's for sure.
Yeah. and you have to listen to, if you listen to, for example, certain government, I call them unelected bureaucrats because that's what they are. They're not elected by the people. At different hearings, what's important for people to remember is listen to them from hearing to hearing. One time we have this balance, the other time you have a right to defend yourself in the home, your other time you have this right and that right. And so when you hear them say you have a right to defend yourself in your home, think about Ward Byrd. He was in his home, on his property, in his own doorway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ask Ward Byrd if he felt like he had the right to defend himself in his home.
Right.
I have a feeling he would say it didn't feel like it to me, you know.
Or from his porch or any of his property for that matter.
That's exactly right. You know, we go back to Stuart Urey from Milford, who was on his own porch, and people encroached, five men, okay, two felons, encroached on his property. And the question is, as a practical matter, I'm hoping that if the governor signs this bill, that we'll just actually gain some sort of castle doctrine that we truly don't have as a practical matter in this state. The heck, when I say the heck with, not that I don't want the right to defend yourself in public places, but I don't think this bill is going to give us that. I think it should. I think it's what the drafters and what those that passed it intended for it to do.
Mm-hmm.
But as a practical matter, I don't think it's going to do that. I wish it would.
Wow. Well, let's see what happens. 1-866-823-1077. Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean right here on Bulldog Live, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. They're located at 1575 Hooksett Road, which is the Daniel Webster Highway, and you can reach them at 485-5000. And I'll tell you what, just because they're open 9 to 5 on most days, except for Thursday and Friday, they're open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. So what a great place for you to go after work and go check out the huge selection in stock and check out the deals that they have on their long guns, too. You can get some good used stuff there, let me tell you.
Well, not only that, they have reloading components.
That's right.
That, you know, for those of us who do what I call custom crafted ammunition, that's a cool thing to have.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you know, they have Vitivori powder now, last time I checked. They have just a lot of really good choices, a lot of primer options. They have some really neat choices, and they also, even in reloading equipment, they have used items as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about a Dillon press, you know, I've never used a progressive press. I've always been a single-stage person, but they've got some pretty fancy progressive presses.
Wow. Well, check it out at rileysguns.com, and you can get their hours, their locations, and the like. And you know, but most importantly, go in there. They got a lot of staff members in there to help you out, let me tell you.
That's actually important because sometimes you don't know what you want.
Well, sometimes I go into a shop and there's only one person in there, and you just wait and wait and wait and wait, and then, you know, but not at Riley's, no.
And that's important.
Yep, sure is. 1-866-823-1077. What else do you have for us today, Penny?
You know, just mainly I wanted to go on specifically if people should call the saying people should call the governor and tell him to pass this bill, or I'm sorry, rather to sign this bill. But more importantly, if he balks, the question is, even though this governor has very high popularity, which I've never figured out, okay, let's look at how this is going to affect you. You know, when people talk about taxes and dollars, taxes and death are a certain thing. In other words, you have to pay your taxes every year. You're going to die. All these things are going to happen. But what about this? This is like what I call the negative lottery ticket. You know the positive lottery ticket where you win a bunch of money?
Yeah.
This is the negative lottery ticket if you're ever forced to defend yourself.
Hmm.
Because think about it. If you're forced to defend yourself, if you don't qualify for the public defender, by filling out a financial affidavit showing that you have limited financial resources, because most people have 401ks and equity in their house,
yeah,
then they're going to come up with what I call the negative lottery ticket.
Huh.
Because what people have been amazed to find out is, in self-defense cases, even if you really didn't have a firearm, if you're accused of brandishing a firearm, the state has an incredible amount of power over you as to whether or not you're going to get bail. For example, even if you were a teetotaler and dead sober when this happened, the state, the court, as a condition of your bail, can order you not to drink alcohol at all. And I had one person say, wait a minute, I don't want to drink alcohol, I've never really been a drinker, but the idea that as a condition of my freedom, when I'm presumed innocent, pending trial, that the state can say, okay, I can't drink alcohol, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't go to this person's house, I can't leave the state, I can't do that. Don't you find those things quite onerous when we, in theory, have this presumption of innocence?
Yeah.
People are always amazed that, in theory, they say, well, I'm presumed innocent. I've never had, you know, I've never been charged with a crime in my life. I have a spotless criminal record. Why is it that now, okay, now when I'm charged with this, when I'm supposedly presumed innocent, when I had to defend my life, do I have to agree to relinquish all my firearms so I can't defend myself, all my ammunition, and I have to not drink, and I have to check in with pretrial services, or I have to do all these things on a regular basis, just as a condition of getting my freedom, in addition to posting tens of thousands of dollars of bail or putting up my house or doing other things? And people don't think of all these things as a practical matter, or in some cases, having a curfew.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Think about it, you know, or having to check in and check out. Sometimes people, you know, you hear about the electronic bracelets and electronic monitors.
Yeah.
When those go off, you only have a few minutes. They keep them plugged in your house, and let's say it makes a tone. You have like 5 minutes or 10 minutes to put your arm or your leg, depending on, you know, what type of monitor you have, in it to show you're physically in the house and you haven't left.
Okay.
And so people think of those things. They think, who's most... Britney Spears. Remember Britney Spears most
yes.
recently? Now, she's an example of someone who's had like 28 chances, right?
Right.
But she still had that monitor, that ankle monitor, where she had to go through all those things because of, and those were all pretrial conditions.
Wow.
So, you know, some of those aren't sentences because people think, well, that's only if you get found guilty. And my answer is, absolutely not. Those are pretrial conditions to you getting out on bail. Because if you don't get out on bail, you know, I tell people typically, let's say from time of charging till time of trial before a jury is 1 to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. How many people can afford to sit in jail for 1 to 2 years and not work?
Oh, you're not kidding.
And how many people would want to? Would you want to sit in jail that long?
No.
You know, people tell me the three hots and a cot. The hots aren't bad, but they're not that good, and the cot's not comfortable.
Right. There you go.
You know, so they say, what are those things? But I always tell people to think about those things because what I call the negative lottery ticket, people say, you know, I don't go in bad areas. I don't go out at night. You know, what about the two women in Manchester who were going to church? Remember that, the two old ladies?
Oh, that were mugged on the street, yes.
Yeah, going into church, no less.
I hear you.
Yeah, so I tell people, you don't know when this negative lottery ticket's going to strike you.
I hear you. Well, Penny, we got to get going here. If anybody has any questions, how do they get in touch with you?
230-9999.
All right, thank you very much. We'll talk next Tuesday.
Yes.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. And Bulldog Live continues here. Thank you to Riley Sports Shop for making Second Amendment Tuesdays possible. 1575 Hooksett Road. That's the Daniel Webster Highway in Hooksett. You can reach them at 485-5000 and visit rileysguns.com to find out store hours and the like. And again, Thursdays and Fridays till 9 p.m. That should make it convenient for a whole lot of people there, shouldn't it? And big selection in stock as well.